is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. U.S. President Donald Trump meeting Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba for the first time. This is a new prime minister in Japan, relatively speaking, to the last time Donald Trump was president. And the new president of the United States has launched what is called by the media a trade war. Or as Reuters puts it very carefully, two allies wary of China's rise work to boost business and security ties while an escalating trade war threatens to rupture the global economy. I welcome my colleague Grant Newsham, United States Marine Corps retired, the author of When China Attacks, who has been my guide on especially national security in Japan this last year. The previous governments were quite comfortable with making pledges of support not only for the United States, but also for Taiwan in the event of a catastrophe. However, Mr. Ishiba is a new prime minister who represents a different approach to the United States and to national security, especially because the Japanese Self-Defense Force is not a given. Grant, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. What do we need to know about Shigeru Ishiba and national security? Good evening.
Well, good evening, John. With Ishiba, he bills himself as a military expert, partly because he was the defense minister a while back, but also he has a lot of model airplanes in his office. He's not as much of an expert as one would think, but in some ways that's neither here nor there if prime minister listens to people. The more important thing, I think, is that Ishiba actually comes into office, who's been in office a little while now, with some resentments of the United States, resentments of the defense treaty. He thinks it's an unequal treaty. He thinks Americans have too many rights to operate without control, without checks in Japan. He's wrong, but it is a resentment. And it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with the United States, with Mr. Trump. He's on record as saying the treaty needs to be made equal. He says he wants to do horse trading with the Americans. And this is quite a position to take when your military has missed recruiting targets by 50%. Yes, 50% last year, routinely misses them by 20. And you have a military that is not ready to fight a war. We'll see if the advisors, if the foreign affairs staff can sort of bring him under control and they get out of the meeting with Mr. Trump without any sort of interruptions or blow-ups. And then they get down to business, building up Japan's defense and its ability to operate with us.
The previous Prime Minister Kishida was clear in his statements about what would happen in the event that Taiwan was attacked. Japan would lend a hand, a very strong hand, basing and participation in defending Taiwan. That culminated in a meeting at Camp David between President Biden, Prime Minister of Japan, and the President Yoon of South Korea. A year or so later, things have changed profoundly. Is that a factor for Ishiba, that South Korea is now profoundly troubled, and those conversations of last year are history?
Oh, it has to be. The advances, the improvements that were made between Japan and South Korea in the last couple of years were noteworthy. They were largely the result of efforts by the South Korean president, Yoon, that took some nerve. He's now been impeached partly for that. But it's a problem for Ishiba because they do need to get along well with the South Koreans. And there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to do that. And that is very helpful when you're trying to put together a sort of combined defense against the Chinese. So we could be back to where we were, where it's the Koreans doing their thing, the Japanese doing their thing loosely with us, which isn't as good as three people cooperating together. It's not finished yet. We have to see how things play out in South Korea, but it's certainly troubling.
Trade. The conversation, we're told, is going to turn on trade, as it must, given the use of the word tariffs directed against China, Canada, and Mexico so far, but others are mentioned. Is that a profound issue for Ishiba, trade? Is he being held to account if he doesn't deliver?
I think he will be. The business class in Japan wields immense influence. So he's going to be graded on how the Americans, how Mr. Trump responds when it does come to trade. A big issue where he could have some success is if the Americans, Mr. Trump approves the deal for Nippon Steel, the Japan Steel, to buy or to invest into heavily and really take control of U.S. steel in the United States, which needs it. For no matter what country it is, if you're being, if you're facing the prospects of tariffs being imposed on you, you might ask why the Americans are doing it. They don't just wake up one day and say, let's put tariffs on people. There could be some very good reasons. You'll do well to understand what they are and to make sure the Americans don't feel like putting tariffs on you. These, as I say, these are pretty much a last resort by the Trump administration. And our trade relations with the Japanese are not as bad as they are with some other countries and some other allied countries as well. But one another problem that we have, it's an issue, is that Ishiba is considered very soft on China. And he has some people around him who are considered equally soft on China. And this is a change from the last three or four Japanese administrations. And so you are seeing a sort of softening or weakening of Japan's position, its thinking towards the People's Republic of China. And that has raised some concerns in some quarters in Japan. And the United States ought to be watching that very closely.
You mentioned the steel, Nippon Steel, seeking to buy U.S. steel, and that was rejected for fill-in-the-blank, CFIUS, other reasons. What was the opinion of the Japanese public of that? Was that regarded as hostile?
In some quarters, yes. But that's the kind of people who follow foreign affairs who would follow this issue. I think the vast majority of Japanese go about their lives and don't worry about big business. They don't worry about business overseas. But in the foreign policy class, I say that class that looks at such things, this is an issue, and it was considered really an insult, pretty much, from the United States. You know, the U.S. is telling the Japanese how great they are as allies, how much they like them. And then they say, well, we don't want your investment into this American steel firm, which is failing. And despite the fact the U.S. allows Japanese steel companies to make steel for the U.S. military. You have to meet some very high NATO standards and also be told what those standards are. So we say we like Japan, we trust them, but we don't want you to buy this company. And then you have Chinese investment all over the United States over the last few decades, apparently without any restraints at all. So it's an issue. The man in the street in Japan probably doesn't pay it much attention, but in the part of this, the ruling class that does, it is an issue.
As I understand it, Ishiba is leading a party that's fragmented. Is that accurate?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's starting to look like an Italian political party. It's really broken down from when Abe was in charge just a few years ago, and it's really self-inflicted. Now it's a bunch of competing factions, and there's no clear dominant force in it. And Ishiba's own administration is a sort of a coalition government, a minority government, in fact, and he's had to bring the opposition in ways that are just unthinkable. It's hard to imagine how Japan is going to be able to continue this much longer. And we may find that Ishiba isn't around much longer.
Grant Newsham, When China Attacks, author, U.S. Marine Corps retired. I'm John Batchelor.